when you know that your partner can be deployed in a war zone at any time, and you don't know if he or she can still come back to you alive. And this situation becomes more complicated when this couple have kids, right? Especially like if they're still small, if they're toddlers. You, whether you're the husband or the wife that's left behind, you instantly become a single parent. Do you guys imagine that? Thinking of having your own podcast? Check out Anchor.fm. It's the easiest way to make one, and it's what I use for my podcast. I fell in love and chose to marry a military member. I had no idea what it would be like, and it was nothing close to what I had expected. What is life like for a military family? Hello, troopers! Welcome to the Afterthought on the Military Family Podcast, where you will hear stories straight from a military wife. And I am your host, Mommy Rich. Every week, I will be exploring not only my experiences as a military wife, but also real stories and lessons from military members, spouses, children, and even parents who have faced disappointments and excitements, challenges, and celebrations of this chosen lifestyle. Excited to explore adventures as a military family? Let's get started! Hello. As this is the first episode of the show, I would like to share first my own afterthoughts on the military family. I want to share how I came up with this concept and why. Actually, there are a lot of whys. Being a military spouse myself, I cannot stop to wonder how other military families go through this kind of life. So, I hope whether connected to the military or not, I hope you will listen with an open mind to what the role is of the military family, its importance, and the challenges of each one face. I started this podcast to be able to share my story and highlight the stories of all military families, as well as to help bridge gaps between civilians and military members, families, and everything else that follows. This is my goal. I refer gap. When I say gap, it's not because there is a rivalry between the two. However, there is definitely a lack of information and support out there. And sometimes it can be very hard for civilians to understand what it is like to live in this kind of life. As for military families, it can be difficult at times to connect with other people. This is usually the case, especially if you are stationed in an area that doesn't have a lot of other military families around. And I tell you, there are a lot of those areas, of those assignments or bases that do not have an amount of military families. So who do you go to, or how do you interact? Where do you go? I have heard firsthand how hard it can be to find support when you're moving from place to place or one assignment to the next one every few years. But as for me, I'd like to think that I'm lucky. I'm quite lucky still, because here in Guam, there is a number of Filipino military families. Not to mention that I also have former colleagues from the Philippines who have been living in the island for a number of years. So that alone, it helps me a lot because I know I have some people, I have friends I can ask assistance if ever I need it while I live here in Guam. But how about for others? And how, like, what if you're not assigned in Guam, you're not based in Guam? Another situation military spouses face is trying to figure out how to make life work with your partner when they are gone so often. When I say when they're gone so often, meaning when they're being assigned or when they're being deployed, you and your partner, of course, you get to be physically separated. And when you're physically separated with your partner, you call that what? Long distance relationship, right? Okay, so LDR sucks. Like, it's very hard. I can say that because I was in an LDR for, let's say, 5 years with my husband. And it's actually long distance marriage because when we got married, he was based in the US and I was based in the Philippines. And so after we got married, he had to go back to the States because of work. And I had to stay in the Philippines because of my work. And that long distance marriage lasted for 5 years. We get to visit one another like once or twice a year, staying, like he would visit me in the Philippines and he would stay for 2 weeks. Then I would visit him in the States and I would stay there for 2 weeks. So it was like that for almost 5 years. So I can really attest to the long distance relationship, and it really sucks because I have been there, done that. However, this LDR that I'm talking about in military families is totally, totally different in so many levels. And let me explain why. What sucks more is that you know and you don't know scenario. Did you get that? So the scenario is you know and you don't know. So what do I mean by that? When you know that your partner can be deployed in a war zone at any time, and you don't know if he or she can still come back to you alive. And this situation becomes more complicated when this couple have kids, right? Especially like if they're still small, if they're toddlers. You, whether you're the husband or the wife that's left behind, you instantly become a single parent. Do you guys imagine that? And like what I was saying earlier, you have to make your life work and your marriage work while you are in a situation as delicate as I have mentioned. It's very complicated when it gets to that part. So I want this podcast to create a connection between what civilians think about us, military families, and what actually happens behind closed doors. Because the support of the civilians can play a huge role in keeping military families intact. or if I can put it this way, keeping military spouses together even though they're physically are not. So when there is a better understanding from the civilians, then they can provide support. They can provide help. I'll tell you more about what type of help they can give to us, the military families. So just like in any normal marriages or family setup, it's not all, you know, happy moments. It's not all good times. And that is what really happens behind closed doors of military families. And because there are a lot of families, military families out there that don't speak up or they don't release their frustrations, I want this podcast to be an outlet for these families who might not otherwise have one. Yes, one common word we all have in this so-called life is military, right? However, each and every military spouse and their military families handle it differently. Some may struggle and just, you know, give up, while others still struggle but are left intact or they're strong. So knowing that you have this platform to listen to and to be a part of, you will be able to relate to the stories that you will hear through this podcast. Or if you want, you yourself can actually get in touch with me and share your own story where other people, other listeners can learn from. Also, please take note that no person is exactly the same. Always take into consideration people who struggle in socializing. And that also applies to military families. There are family members who are either too shy to ask for help or they are just not used to. As simple as that. They're just not used to. They're so accustomed to being independent that they feel like they don't need help from anybody. There's a lot of reasons behind that. Probably they just, you know, they think that nobody can relate to what they're going through, or no one would understand their situation. Afterthought on the Military Family Podcast is the way I could think of to help educate the public, to provide support to my co-military families, and to give help to anyone to have a better understanding of what it means to be part of this community. I cannot emphasize that enough. I want this podcast to create a connection between what civilians think about our families or our military families and what actually happens behind closed doors, right? So you will hear stories straight from different military members, such as the ones on active duty. We'll be hearing from veterans, other military spouses, retirees, from parents, and also from children or from dependents of the military members. And I want them to be part of this show so that you can hear the perspectives of many different people involved in this lifestyle. I guarantee that this is also a place where you, our listeners, or if I can call you troopers, whether you're in the military or not, I'd like to call my listeners as troopers, you can actually feel safe discussing your concerns and questions here in this show without judgment, where you can ask the questions that you have in your thoughts, but you aren't sure how to voice it out. In this show, you can, you know, feel free to participate. Feel free to message. Feel free to guest if you want. When I was conceptualizing this show, I already knew that I myself want to learn from the stories of other male spouses. When I say male spouses, it's a shortcut for military spouses. Why? To equip myself to the challenges that I will face ahead. But then you know what? I also thought of my mother-in-law. And I got curious of what she has to share if I ask her questions about, you know, when her son, my husband, joined the service. I'm curious of her answers. I want to know. And not only that, I also thought about my sisters-in-law who has their brother, my husband, joined the service. And one of my sisters-in-law now has her own son in the service too. So how does she feel about that? First, her brother, now her son. I'm very curious and I'm very interested to know. Because it is never too easy to be 1,000 miles away from your loved ones. Especially like with mothers who are used to, because if I may just share, Filipino mothers are very caring and they always want their, you know, their children to be with them. The culture in the Philippines, the motherly love has no age limit. No age limit. So mothers would love to take care of their children for as long as they can. That's how Filipino mothers are. Well, that's how my mom is, and that's how I am with our children. So, but going back, that's why it's very difficult. I only know, like, from a limited perspective, that it is difficult alone to be away from your children, or yeah, like as a parent. What more if you know for a fact that at any time they may be deployed and, you know, have like a 50 chance, they have 50-50 chances to get back okay. So when these military members are deployed or they're assigned, you know, different places, they can't join family gatherings. And that includes us at times. Like when we were back in California, we would always celebrate birthdays, you know, of relatives and have family gatherings. But now that we're here in Guam, we can't. We can't join them. So I would say one of the sad part being part of a military family is not being able to join family gatherings, birthday parties, weddings, or any of the special occasions the rest of your family or relatives have. So it's, to be honest, it's really heartbreaking. So this is why it is truly touching when you see military members making a surprise coming home videos, like when you see them in Facebook or in TikTok. You would see these military members visiting their children's school game or play in school, and their kids didn't know that they're back from the deployment. It really is very touching. If you would watch it and think about it, it's not easy to be really far away from them and you don't know when they're coming back. Yeah. So, in this show, we will definitely have a lot of relatable stories to tell. If I was curious myself, I am sure that, when I say I'm sure, I'm like positive more than 50% that there is at least one person out there who's also curious of how these family members control their emotions or handle their situations and do their best to continue to live a normal life. This podcast is powered by Anchor.fm. Making a podcast is free and easy with Anchor.fm. Now, this is one of the important afterthoughts I have. Military is not all about trainings, soldiers, troops sent off to fight or to go to war. It does not only involve chiefs, captains, lieutenants, sailors, airmen, soldiers, ships, bases. Military, it also has spouses, children, siblings, parents, families, relationships, homes. Remember that we are also human beings, same as any regular civilian. And this is why military families should not go unnoticed. The people who serve in the armed forces put their lives on the line so that all of us can live a life of peace and freedom. And it's no small thing to raise a family while doing this mission. I know what you're gonna say or probably are thinking. I know it sounds kind of patriotic, but it is what it is. For those individuals who are with so much love for their country, they would give up their own freedom and sacrifice their control or the control that they have in their own respective lives in order to serve. At the end of the day, I consider these individuals heroes. So let me ask you, did you ever get curious how a whole family that was left behind, how do they feel once their member gets deployed or assigned to war zones? I honestly don't know the feeling because it has not happened to me yet. But honestly, if wars are declared or terrorists attack, then the choice isn't mine. I have to be ready. So as a military spouse, I have to be prepared if and when my husband is ordered to go. And again, it is not a small thing to raise a family knowing that a loved one's life may be in danger somewhere. It is never too easy to face your children or go on with your daily life when at the back of your head, you keep on thinking, how's your husband in the deployment, in the war zone? How's your wife? Are they still alive? Are they still okay? It's the mindset that you have to create for yourself. You have to keep yourself sane. Otherwise, you're gonna end up insane. So, I am not a military member. I am not, of course, I have never been deployed, nor I have never been in a war zone. But being far away from my own family is what I am experiencing now. Because growing up in a country such as the Philippines, where it is very typical to always be with your relatives, more than your immediate family, your cousins, your aunts, uncles, grandparents, they are your extended family as well. And not only that, even your friends from way, way back. So imagine if your partner is already deployed and you are stuck in a country wherein you don't have a support system because your support system is in a different country as well. How do you think can military family members cope up with that kind of situation? That's why sometimes I feel quite sad when you have this feeling that military families are often isolated. Many are stationed in places where there aren't much military families around them. And, you know, the movement is, it's always on the go. Others have to move from place to place every 2 to 3 years. It's hard. I'll give you guys an example. We moved here in Guam in February of last year. And depending on my husband's orders, we will be staying here for, let's say, between 2 to 3 years more. When are we going next? We don't know yet. We honestly don't know yet. But before we came here in Guam, we were in California. My husband was assigned in 29 Palms. And I was there. I was able to visit him. And if I may just say, it adds to the burden and to the stress of a military member when the area that you are in is quite depressing. When I say it's quite depressing, 29 Palms, probably the palm trees that you will see there isn't like 29 pieces. Because what you will see in 29 Palms is mostly desert. Yep, desert. So imagine those people who have no families with them in that kind of base. It's a struggle for you to be okay. You have to convince yourself to be okay. Because your surrounding is very depressing. So, I have a question. Do you ever wonder how we, the military families, get to adjust in such a short period of time? Because remember, I just said earlier that we get to move from place to place every 2 to 3 years. That is short. Because imagine, we are, every time that we get to move to a place, we turn an empty house into a home. We try to locate childcare if we have toddlers or, you know, small kids. We register our children for school. We schedule doctor appointments. And we also maintain a home that may require hours of research and coordination. And those things are really not easy to do. Especially if you're in a country or you're in a place where you don't know anyone, and as I mentioned earlier, you don't have a support system. So with these situations, have you thought about how military children feel whenever they have to make new friends again? How about the stress in learning a new language? Because you need to learn the language in order to survive in that country, right? We cannot depend on just the military community. We need to learn to adapt to the place we're at. We need to go out. We need to buy stuff. We need to communicate. So we need at least the basic language to get by outside the bases. Of course, there are benefits of learning a new language, but it's the struggle to communicate in a very short span of time that matters. And to be honest, it's harder for these military families to find support in these changing times. Now, I'd like to share with you that I've actually read in a website called Create the Good that there are challenges faced by military families. So, one, because of the reassignments, we call that PCS. PCS means permanent change of station. Military families move much more frequently than their civilian counterparts. Number two, nearly 1 million or 43% of military personnel are actually parents. Can you imagine how the struggle of these parents face when they actually try to complete their mission or do their service while attending to their family's needs? It's a challenge for sure. And the third challenge is, did you know that the average military child will attend between 6 and 9 schools in grades K-12? That's a lot of schools. So the adjustment of this military child is, I honestly cannot imagine. The fourth challenge is wives of military personnel are less likely to be employed than wives of civilians. And I can really say that because I myself, I have been trying to look for a job here in Guam, but it's quite a challenge. It's very difficult. Though, I'm sure that the full-time housewives of some military members are having more difficulty in looking for jobs because most of the companies, they look for work experience and they don't consider managing like your household as a mother and as a wife. Most companies, they don't acknowledge that as a work experience. So that's why full-time housewives of military members are less likely to be employed. And the next challenge is frequent moves and family separations pose financial difficulties. This is true. We've experienced this firsthand when we moved here in Guam. At that time, we had to undergo quarantine and we had to stay in quarantine hotels here in Guam. But of course, though military is supposed to sponsor those expenses, you'll have to put out of the pocket first. Like, you have to shoulder first the initial expenses and reimburse them with the military. So if you don't have that much pocket money, then good luck to you. I can say that we almost came to a point that my husband was, you know, starting to really get stressed out because of lack of funds. And we were trying to avoid to make a loan because, of course, we didn't want to start off with paying debts, right? The loan would be, of course, with the military service. The other challenge is that more than half of enlisted personnel report financial difficulties and struggles to pay bills. Yep, especially if you're an enlisted military personnel and you have a low rank, but you're a military, you have a family of your own already. I heard that it's really a struggle to make the ends meet and pay your bills with the salary that you get. It's quite a challenge. And the last challenge that I've read is that families of reserve and guard members do not typically have the support system or resources available to active duty members because they are geographically dispersed and may not live near a major military installation. So I asked my husband about this one because I'm really not familiar with it. So when you are under reserve and you have military dependents, unfortunately, there are a lack of support system and resources that's available to you and your family compared to if you are an active duty member. And that sucks. So, yeah, it's kind of difficult if you go through that. Though I've mentioned these challenges, I do not want to focus on just these issues the military families have, as there are so many amazing aspects of the military lifestyle. But it can be hard to find real, actionable information and resources to help you navigate life as a military family member. And so, that's where this show comes in, because sharing your stories is very powerful. Here, we can talk about everything from deployment and PCS moves to the challenges of raising children in the military home, to what it's like being a part of a minority group within the community, and so much more. And what's important is that we do it all with one goal in mind, that is to help each other live stronger, happier lives by providing relatable experiences and creating connections through this show, the Afterthought on the Military Family Podcast. My mission with this podcast is to create a safe, open place for people to share their stories about being part of a military family. I am a military spouse myself, and one of the biggest things I have noticed over the years is how little information there is in most communities about what it is like to be a military family, what that experience is like, and how we can better support each other through this lifestyle. I found myself spending a lot of time explaining what my life is like to friends, to loved ones, co-workers, and sometimes even to complete strangers, which, to be honest, I don't mind. But as any military family member knows, any story has value, even if it is not always understood or appreciated by those outside your community. It has taken me a while, but what's important is I have learned some things along the way. First, that there are some pretty incredible people out there who have decided to serve their country. And I really hope and pray that I get to guest some of these incredible people in my show. Second, that it doesn't matter where you got stationed, because there are always other people going through the same thing. Third, that we definitely need a proactive, understanding community in order to thrive. And this is probably where I can mention how you can actually help. And that is by volunteering. Because, you know, military families that are settling into a new home and community, you know, when they're moving into a new home and community, they have many needs that can be met by volunteers who may be able to help with errands or locate a handyman or jumpstart a car or prepare a meal. Volunteers can also be a resource to find others in the community who can provide support. Military men and women and their families make tremendous sacrifices as they serve our country. So your support, I am pertaining, of course, to our listeners who would like to extend their help. Your support lets us know how much the service, our service, is appreciated. Members of the military represent the leaders of course, the future generation. By supporting them, we are encouraging them to continue their service. And of course, eventually, outside the military, in our communities. That's how important the role is of anyone who would like to volunteer and give some, you know, extending a helping hand to military families. And of course, last but not the least, we need unconditional support from the whole family in order to survive this chosen kind of life. Whether it be a military member, a military spouse, a military child, or military parents, the unconditional support coming from the rest of the family is very much needed in this kind of lifestyle. So with that, I hope I was able to reach out to a lot of listeners about my afterthoughts on the military family. Afterthought on the Military Family is a proud member of the Rumble Royale Podcast Network. Thanks for listening. If you are new here and enjoyed this episode, please follow the podcast by tapping the bell to be notified of new episodes. This helps military families who want to live their best lives find the show. And if you would like to share your story, please connect with us through our Facebook page, Mommy Reg, and we would love for you to be part of the show. Remember, you are not alone. Until next time.